Caught Sight of the Virtual Hardwood, it's the MLSC Podcast. This is episode 519. I am Andrew, Andrew in our forum, Andrew MLSC on X. With me as always, my co-host Derek, DV3 in our forum, and DV3G and DV384 on X. Derek, good to be talking to you as always. What's on your mind this week?
Well, Andrew, I figure I'd give a show summary considering the amount of material that we have to go over on today's NLSC podcast. We're going to discuss a new mobile game called NBA Infinite, which was created by Level Infinite, followed by Troyden's incredibly expensive quest to get a 100 overall player in NBA 2K24 My Team. After that, we will be discussing some more ridiculous basketball discourse related to Michael Jordan and 90s hoop. And lastly, we will get into this week's mailbag, where we will discuss the modes that had you hooked in basketball video games, and we will give our responses on that topic as well. But first, Andrew, I find this kind of amusing. So a popular NBA 2K dev, the majority of our listeners are very aware of who this person is. I'm not going to give their name on the show. But he followed me on X, on my at D43G channel. And then I checked about 5 minutes later and he unfollowed me.
Huh.
And I don't know, my channel is all about love for basketball video games for the most part, right? You know, I post NBA 2K footage, NBA Live footage, you know, old 989 sports footage from the shootout series, you know, NBA 09 The Inside. I've posted NBA Fast Break 98, Double Dribble. It's like I post everything. And, you know, if I like the game and I like the company that was putting out the game at the time and I like the direction that, you know, they were going, you know, I will also praise that game. But to follow me for 5 minutes and then just unfollow me, I don't know if it's because recently I made a critique about the gambling mechanics.
I mean, possibly
in NBA 2K24, and he saw that. I don't know if it has to do with the fact that I will speak out in general against these predatory mechanics that Take-Two is putting in their games in order to, you know, take advantage of our youth, take advantage of our, you know, the vulnerable consumers, etc., and people with gambling problems. The fact that, you know, he would follow me and then unfollow me 5 minutes later. It's just very telling. And it reminds me why I'm kind of glad that I'm not part of a machine like that, right? Because he may want to follow me for the content, but he knows it's probably not a good look for him to follow me on X, right? Because of me being so against some of the company's practices. I'm just really glad that I'm not part of that machine.
Yeah, I mean, the charitable interpretation would be a fat-fingered moment, I guess. You know, maybe he saw somebody repost something he'd posted on X and accidentally hit the follow button. You never know, but it is kind of weak to do that, absolutely. And yeah, you don't really have controversial opinions, in my view, and maybe I think that because I share a lot of your opinions on these matters, that's certainly a possibility, but neither of us are hot take artists. We don't have these controversial opinions. We're not rude in our interactions with other people. So, yeah, that's a kind of a weird thing to do.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of immature, especially for an adult to do that. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, we're all adults here. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, Andrew, let's talk about this new mobile game called NBA Infinite. You haven't been able to get your hands on this, but I've actually played it quite a bit, including 20 different 3-on-3 games. And the way this works is it's basically like a My Team / Ultimate Team style game with gambling mechanics, right? You know, they want you to put more money into the game in order to get the players that you want, in order to, you know, be able to execute certain moves and flashy dunks and flashy dribbles and to be able to have a burst off your crossover and all of that stuff. But the gameplay is quite a bit better than NBA Live Mobile. The game runs at a much smoother frame rate. The graphics are far better on NBA Infinite over NBA Live Mobile, and there's just more stuff you can do in the game. So they have like 3-on-3, and like you can choose like basically easy or starter or whatever, normal mode, and then competitive mode. So basically it's better matchmaking in that way. So if you're playing on the normal mode, more than likely you don't feel like you're ready for competitive, so you're going to stick with that, etc. They also have like 5-on-5 in the game, and that's once again, you know, you with other people playing against, you know, 5 other humans, etc. I don't believe there's a way to play against the computer in the game. There is a practice and training option in there, but I don't believe you can play against the computer at all. I feel like it's basically always you and people from around the world. So in the 20 games that I played on 3-on-3, I only lost one. And the only reason I lost one is because you often have that one person who just doesn't take the action seriously and decides he's going to shoot every time he touches the ball, right, Andrew?
Of course.
And this guy was flinging shots from half court during our 3-on-3 game, just completely sabotaging the game. And we actually still ended up almost winning because he couldn't take out the ball every single time. So I think we only lost by 2 points. But strategy in that game can somewhat matter, as in, if you're a team player and you're actually crashing the boards and you know how to use the skills of your player, you can have an advantage. And the players on your team, you can make them better by playing a certain, you know, unselfish brand of basketball. So I had a good record. I was using mostly Kevin Durant, rookie Kevin Durant and rookie Paul George, which basically came in starter packs for me. I think they were like 76 overall or something like that. But I recommend people check it out, but I would just operate on the side of caution because there's definitely a money grab element to it. It doesn't feel as bad as NBA Live Mobile or what NBA 2K does with my team, but the gambling mechanics are there, and they definitely want to encourage people to put money into that game in order to get better players, in order to get all of the great moves, and then, you know, be able to play on the competitive modes.
You know, it is intriguing, and we have been talking about for years now how we want to see other NBA games enter the space, NBA games of all genres, subgenres of basketball gaming, obviously. And I suppose I should check it out at some point. When it was brought up in our Discord, I kind of balked at it because I'm just not into the Ultimate Team or My Team modes anymore. I just can't invest in anything where I have to grind hard to get rewards and content, and certainly in My Team, losing that content each and every year. So it's not really appealing to me, but at the same time there is some intrigue there, so I will probably give it a look at some point. The PvP is not something I'm really interested in either. I would rather have against a gameplay against the CPU, or co-op gameplay against the CPU, or what have you. But yeah, I mean, this is gaming in 2024, that you're going to have these microtransactions, these recurrent revenue mechanics, and this content that you can monetize like that. So I'm not surprised at all. But were you playing it on the emulator, the Android emulator? The name escapes me at the moment. I'm sure you remind me momentarily.
BlueStacks.
Yeah, that's BlueStacks. Right. Yes.
Yeah, I was. I was playing that on my 50-inch screen, which was nice.
Oh,
right?
that's better than playing on a phone. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to point something out. Let's not, but I don't want people to get carried away with what I said about the gameplay. It's not that inspiring.
Sure.
Like, there's no sprint control. The players crawl around the court. It reminds me of that PC game. What is it called? Like Rebound 3-on-3 or something like that.
Right.
Like, players are super sluggish.
It's a mobile game at the end of the day. Yeah.
It's a mobile game. Yeah, right. Exactly. There's also, like, they allow the players to taunt. So, you know, like sort of like emotes. So if somebody's being a ball hog, you can yell ball hog,
right,
and whatnot. And just to kind of, like, I don't know, piss them off.
Oh, we need that in the rec. And we need that in the rec in 2K Pro-Am. Absolutely.
Yeah, there was one game where I only took one shot, actually. And I had a bunch of assists and rebounds because I was just trying to get everybody else involved. That one shot I took, and we were up like 8-1 at that point. One of the guys yelled ball hog. I'm like, well, you're not really using that correctly.
No.
Because that was my first shot of the game, and I also hit it. So, but yeah, I mean, the thing is it's very similar to like NBA 2K My Team. It has different versions of the players. Like, I unlocked organically, you know, without putting money into the game, the Suns Kevin Durant, right? So like a more current Kevin Durant. There's obviously Oklahoma City Thunder Kevin Durant in there. There's different versions of LeBron. There's different versions of blah, blah, blah. So they got like the full NBA license here. All the art looks great, like the Sonics jerseys and whatnot on Kevin Durant from when he was a rookie. They look awesome. It's definitely a step up from NBA Live Mobile, in my opinion. And for those people who are kind of blah about NBA Live Mobile and want to try another mobile game, this one might be for you. So you can always give it a look.
I mean, it is good that other companies are trying things. It would be nice to see another AAA release as an alternative to 2K. That's what we keep pushing for. It's why we've talked about the opportunity that Live somehow still has, despite all of its shortcomings and being dormant for years, that there is that room in the basketball gaming space to have these alternatives to 2K, or of course, a Jam or a Street. And that is ultimately what we want to see. But it is nice that other developers are trying these things and getting the NBA license. That also suggests that the NBA license isn't unattainable, and it's obviously not exclusive like the NFL license is with Madden. I mean, there was that other game a while back, we won't mention it because we were going to talk to the creator of that game, and he big leagued us, or ghosted us, or big league ghosted us, if you will. But there are people throwing their hat into the ring, and that is nice to see.
Well, that guy that ghosted us, that game fell flat on its face. So,
I was kind of satisfied about that. A bit of Schadenfreude there.
yeah, he deserved it for trying to say that his game was going to be better than NBA Jam
It was not.
and kind of trash talking NBA Jam. Which is funny, though, because Tim Kitcherow, who we love, is a voice in this guy's game,
Yes.
right? So, I'm pretty sure Tim Kitcherow himself would be like, shut your mouth. Like, don't talk crap about
Get
NBA Jam.
that out of here. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, exactly. But I also want to point out that the TOS for this NBA Infinite game is very similar to NBA 2K's new
Oh, no
TOS.
class action lawsuits in this one either?
Yep, it's almost word for word
Hmm.
the same as
I think it's going to
NBA
become
2K's
standard.
new
Yeah.
TOS. And I think it's either A, going to become standard, or maybe I don't know, maybe we don't know any better, and maybe NBA 2K has something to do with this NBA Infinite game. I have no idea. But the T I just want to point out that the TOS is pretty much the same. Speaking of gambling, Andrew, and that BS TOS and all that stuff. So I've been following Troyden's quest to get a 100 overall player in NBA 2K24, my team. Do you think he got one yet?
I'm guessing not. I do have kind of spoilers here, I suppose. I did see it come up in the feed on X, but yeah, it seems to be a fruitless endeavor.
Right. Yeah. So he definitely has not gotten a 100 overall player yet. And guess how much money he's put in? $8,200. That's the most up-to-date figure that I have so far. So, and he's I'm from my understanding is he's done all of this on streams, like on video and whatnot. So, $8,000 and not getting the card. I mean, that tells you how bad these gambling mechanics are and how predatory they are.
I was just double checking the conversion rate at the moment. That's US$8,000, of course. That's about 12,000 Australian. Again, if somebody wants to send me 12,000 Australian, I won't turn it down. I'll put it to better use than streaming a pack opening. But at the same time, I do appreciate that he's showing just how greedy it is, and this should be a PSA.
Yeah, I also want to point out that my concerns with 2K taking over the player market, basically getting rid of the auction house and now 2K controls the player market.
You were right.
It was, yeah, it's as bad as I thought it was going to be, maybe even worse. There's a lot of people voicing their, displeasure with the new system, and they're basically begging for the auction house to come back because there's players that should be attainable just by grinding in NBA 2K24, my team, and the developers at Take-Two are pricing these players at over 100,000 VC, right? 125,000 VC, 200,000 VC, etc. And these are players that used to be attainable in the auction house just by, grinding a little bit, right? And you used to be able to get good versions of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and Clyde Drexler and Dirk Nowitzki and whatnot, and you used to be able to get versions that you could compete with, right?
Oh, for sure.
And right, and you wouldn't have to spend a god-awful amount of money to get them, or try to get them through packs,
Or anything,
etc.
yeah, you wouldn't have to spend it all sometimes. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, exactly. But now that they've taken control of that player market, these players are not attainable basically through grinding, even if you make your life the video game. And I just think it's so disheartening. It's just too bad.
It really is, and you might have also noticed that a lot of the best cards are not available to purchase right away, but rather they are the reward for purchasing the entire set. So that's the other thing, is that the FOMO is in full effect, because I've said it before, and I regret saying it now, that if you charged me $10, for example, to get every single Michael Jordan card, a Michael Jordan card subscription, if you will, for the year, I would have actually considered that. But am I going to spend hundreds of dollars to unlock, or mindless grinding and not very fun grinding to get all the VC the long way, to get an entire set and unlock the Jordan card that way? Absolutely not. But there are people who will, so that's what they're counting on. And I've actually drafted an article about this, talking about the greed and the backlash, because as vocal as the backlash has been, I do think people are going to forget about it. And one of the reasons that that often happens is that every year they will push their luck and then back off a little bit. So I can see them bringing back the auction house in 2K25, mollifying fans, saying, hey, we hear you, we're bringing this back, but then they'll pivot to their next pushy mechanics.
I also want to point out that even if they bring the auction house back, that doesn't change the pack exclusive content
that
they're pushing.
And it's worked in the meantime. Wild West
pack.
This
has worked. Kobe and Shaq. The Wild West pack with Kobe and Shaq, the 100 overall Kareem, all of that stuff. Even if they bring the auction house back, they are going to continue those predatory mechanics with pack opening. Right.
And in the short term, it's worked. They've been able to, this year, okay, let's bring it back next year, possibly, or this year with 2K25. And that's great, and they can mollify the fans by doing that. But in the short term, they've already made bank with this. So they've won already, unfortunately.
I don't even like the gameplay on NBA 2K24, either version, PC
or
Series X. So I'm not even driven to put on the game to, enjoy offline content.
No.
So I just think overall 2K24 is a poor product. That's the bottom line. So, Andrew, let's get into some basketball discourse. I just have a few things to say about this. If you come to the conclusion that Michael Jordan wasn't good with his left hand based on like 5 cherry-picked highlights over a 15-year career, all I can say is that you are not a student of the game and shouldn't be talking basketball. You can find highlights from any era and from any player showing an air ball, missed layups, horrible shooting games, not attacking a certain direction, etc. And the same thing goes for an entire decade. If you use a few cherry-picked highlights to judge an entire decade, you should also stop talking basketball. I'm just so glad that I stay out of these ridiculous conversations, and I've also never been happier to be someone who saw hoops in different decades and who grew up in a time where this BS was very little to none.
Oh, for sure. I don't want to engage in those discussions on X or Reddit or anywhere else that I see them, because you know the way it goes. It just comes down to all the ad hominems, all of the thought-terminating cliches. As you said, cherry-picking stats, cherry-picking highlights. I mean, I remember, off the top of my head, because it was such a funny moment, watching a game from the 97 season, where Shaq, newly signed with the Lakers, of course, missed a dunk over Avery Johnson. What, 5'10", 5'11", Avery Johnson, off the top of my head? You know, you could cherry-pick that highlight, or lowlight, as the case may be, cherry-pick that footage and say, oh, look, Shaq couldn't even finish over someone who was a foot shorter than him. Like, yeah, that one time that he went for a dunk and it just slipped out of his hand and he missed. Absolutely, you can pick anything out of context. And the funny thing is that those same people will say, oh, of course you focus on J.J. Barea playing great defense on LeBron and just saying you're just cherry-picking that, while also cherry-picking themselves. Every accusation is an admission, as the saying goes. And yeah, it's just become so ridiculous. And the funny thing is that the more compelling argument that should be made, if you want to argue in favor of the current generation or LeBron or Kobe over Jordan or anyone over Jordan, is to say, yes, MJ was great, he was fantastic, but here's why player X was better. Because otherwise you're lowering the bar, and that just makes that player that you're arguing for less impressive. Don't tell me that Jordan sucked and he played against 5'5" plumbers and dentists. You know, make the argument that shows why he was great, but LeBron is greater. Now, I don't agree with that assertion, but I think that is the more compelling argument to make. I would listen to that because you're not lowering the bar and trying to downplay the past.
Hold on. That would require them to actually understand basketball and know what they're talking about.
That too.
Like,
yes.
I see fully what is happening and why. And like these people who latch on to the BS have no idea how ridiculous they are and look.
Well,
so
they,
like
they just repeat other people's arguments.
I was just telling Nate. Yeah. I was telling Nate, Live 01 legend, this: the power of social media. It doesn't matter what is true; it's whatever you can make trend.
What gains traction? Absolutely, yes.
That's what it is. So, how many kids, Andrew, and or young adults think about basketball outside of, hey man, that dude scored 40 last game, or hey man, this guy is trash? Like, how many kids or young adults that are engaging in these conversations that we're talking about think outside of those simple terms? The bottom line is the majority of people who make these ridiculous comments have no fundamental understanding of basketball. Do you really expect them to be able to have a smart conversation about any era, any player, etc.?
Well, the thing is, you don't even really see them commenting on the games as if they've watched them, or even the highlights, because they talk about the stats. They repeat the inflammatory remarks and the ridiculous arguments. But you don't really see anybody expressing enjoyment of actual highlights. I mean, a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about our favorite Michael Jordan moments when we were reflecting on that for his 61st birthday. And it's very hard for us to just pick a few tremendous highlights because we remember all those great moments. And I don't see that enjoyment of the game. I see enjoyment of stats and enjoyment of argument, but I don't really see those comments of, oh, remember this moment, this particular dunk that LeBron did, or this particular incredible shot that Doncic made. It's all about, oh, look at the triple-double, look at the stats, look at the efficiency or whatever, look at this statistical milestone that nobody else has achieved, and it's some weird combination of stats on a Monday wearing a blue jersey and all kinds of other qualifiers that they do with these crazy stats these days. That being said, I do enjoy that crazy stats account. There is some interesting trivia there, and I do appreciate that. But I don't see that appreciation for the game. There's that constant argument and ranking and sharing those thought-terminating cliches and putting down players. But you don't really see anybody expressing passion for, wow, that was some really great basketball. Oh, that highlight really, really stuck with me. I don't see
that
enjoyment.
Because they
don't
know what they're watching, Andrew.
I mean, yeah.
That's why
all of
this is so stupid. The majority of these people that engage in these stupid debates and make these stupid posts on X and make these dumb TikToks, the majority of these people have no idea what they are even watching. And agendas run rampant in kids' heads. It makes them take a side and it allows them to be part of, quote unquote, the debate. So I think it's ridiculous. Like, these, how can you expect somebody who doesn't know the sport, right? They don't really know what they're watching and what to look for. You can't point to a game and say, hey, watch this. And then all of a sudden they come to you and say, oh yeah, you were right. They still don't know what they're watching, Andrew. Right. So like, that's the thing. That's why I stay completely out of these conversations, because if somebody is engaging in a stupid debate like this, if somebody is engaging in a debate related to whether Michael Jordan has a left hand, right? Yeah. Or if professional basketball players from the past were trash, et cetera.
Actual athletes,
like,
yeah.
You know, some of the best athletes of all time and whatnot. If those people are saying that, they probably never played basketball before, number one. They don't know the sport very well, and they shouldn't be talking about the sport in general. But anyway, I wanted to bring that up on this episode. Maybe we can do a segment of called D's Rants or something like that.
Yeah.
Because like, some of this stuff absolutely drives me nuts. And I'll talk about it with you, and I'll talk about it with some of our listeners and whatnot. But I will not engage in these conversations on social media because they are so stupid.
Oh, it's not worth it. Yeah, you're just banging your head against the keyboard. And that is the way internet discourse has gone. And you'll show them footage and, oh, I'm not watching that. Or, oh, that makes my eyes hurt. Or any kind of, again, whatever phrase, whatever cliche, shuts down the conversation. We see it about basketball video games as well. Show them something from the past and they want to say that 2K24 is better than 2K17 or whatever, and they'll say, oh, I'm not watching that. You know, or you say, oh, I'm not reading all that. You see that a lot. It's basically the latest evolution of TLDR. I actually saw the other day somebody was saying, expressing something positive about a wrestling match. Must have written about 2, 3, maybe 4 sentences, a paragraph, and somebody responded saying, oh, imagine writing an essay about this. An essay! And that was just a couple of sentences expressing joy at what they'd seen. That is the level of discourse.
Anything outside of a few words is considered word vomit now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's short attention spans. I think it's ridiculous. If you try to explain yourself, if you get, you know, if you really try to dive into a topic or a debate and everything, all of a sudden you're discredited because you used more than a sentence.
Oh, you care too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're triggered or you take this too seriously or whatever. It's just, it's so stupid.
Yeah. I mean, when you realize that you're dealing with that maturity level, yeah, that's when you peace out. There's no point, again, banging your head against the keyboard and getting worked up about it. And that's why I do stay out of it. You know, hats off to some of the accounts that I do follow that are trying to combat this misinformation. And they also let me know who to mute or block on X. And that's nice. I appreciate it as a service.
That's a nice heads up.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Before we go on, a reminder that the NLSC podcast comes out every week on the NLSC, NBA-live.com, as well as our YouTube channel. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast apps. If you're listening on any of those apps, we'd greatly appreciate a review. To keep up with the show and everything we're doing with basketball gaming in general, connect with us on social media. On Twitter and Facebook, we are the NLSC. We also have an Instagram, NLSC Basketball, and on YouTube, we're youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. Once again, visit us at NBA-live.com, where in addition to the podcast, you'll also find all of our original content, as well as our forum and modding community.
So, Andrew, let's get to our main topic, and this actually involves this week's NLSC mailbag. So I asked the community, what mode in basketball video games has gotten you hooked? And we actually received quite a few responses, but before we get to the community's responses, I thought it would be a good idea for us to share the modes that got us hooked from basketball video games past and present. So I figured maybe we can go back and forth on this. What's one mode that got you hooked in a basketball video game?
Well, see, this is the problem, Derek, is that I don't actually play basketball video games. I just comment on them, as everyone online does, commenting on without actually knowing what they're talking about. No, you know, season mode, obviously. It sounds so simple these days because we've got all these deep modes and these connected experiences. But being able to play a full NBA season back in those games that came out in the 90s, because, you know, you go back to a game like Double Dribble, a fun game for its time, but there's no tournament, no season mode. It's just a series of exhibition games, and that can be fun, especially when you're playing against another person, but it does get repetitive. There's not much to keep you hooked. You have to kind of mix it up with other games. That's just the way games were back in the day, of course. But when those full NBA seasons came along in the NBA licensed games, just playing through a full season for the first time in Live 95. It wasn't, I say full season, I played every game, but it was 3-minute quarters and a 26-game season as it was at the time. And then playing 82 games in Live 96 PC. Yeah, just getting hooked on that mode and adjusting the lineup and seeing the stats accumulate. It was so special. And again, it sounds so simple now that we have all of that stuff and kind of take it for granted, but that was a big step forward for games in the 90s.
Well, you know, Andrew, Mark Price didn't have a right hand. So, oh, wait, I'm being told that's only an NBA showdown for Sega Genesis because they force him to shoot left-handed on every shot. So, season modes. So that was actually going to be the first thing I touched on as well. The first full seasons I ever finished in basketball video games were on Tecmo Super NBA Basketball, so for Super NES, and NBA Showdown for Super NES. Played full seasons on Tecmo Super NBA Basketball. I was using the Detroit Pistons with Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Orlando Woolridge, Dennis Rodman, and Bill Laimbeer, that team. And then on NBA Showdown, it was actually using the Celtics with Super Kevin Gamble. So
we need to look into that bug as well. That we need to go back and investigate and see if there was a bug that made him faster in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he was he went 100 miles an hour. He dominated games for me. I wonder if it was just an issue with my cartridge. That's what we'll have to find out. That's we'll have to investigate. But the thing with those two games was what, Andrew? Stat tracking, right?
Yes.
And back then, that was unreal. And Tecmo Super NBA Basketball even had the player portraits, even for a game that was created in the early 90s. And
the atmosphere,
whatnot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was from those two games really stood out from a presentation standpoint. They were able to track stats. It was awesome. So, yes, season modes, they count in this discussion, and those were big for me.
Yeah, my first championship was NBA Live 95 for Super Nintendo. Again, playing through that 26-game season and the abbreviated playoffs. I think there's 1-3-3-3 that you had in those playoffs, or maybe 3-5-5-5. I can't remember what I chose. But, yeah, playing through that from start to finish, three-minute quarters, because I'm renting that game from the video store, so I need to finish it in a week. Otherwise, my save is gone the next time I rent that game, most likely, unless I am very quick to re-rent it again. But yeah, just seeing the stats accumulate, playing through the season, seeing the all the different logos there. I'm just picturing in my mind, Derek, all the logos on the schedule and just having that progress, working towards that goal, winning that virtual championship. Yeah, it's just so many great memories, and that was the start of that NBA experience. And of course, it expanded later with the franchise modes and multi-season play. But that was something we dreamed about as well, being able to play beyond that first season.
Yeah, it's not something you usually do, though, right? Because the season is so long, and by the time you're done the first season, either a new game has come out, right? Or maybe you're even burnt out on that video game, or you want to use a different team and whatnot.
If you don't sim,
so, right, I've had a few seasons in my life that we did move on to the second season, and all of those were co-op, right? It was me and my brother Nick, or me and my brothers, both all of us, like Nick and Mark, you know, a three-way co-op season and whatnot. So the next one, and then I'll throw it over to you, was NBA Jam Tournament Edition. It's not a mode, Andrew, but it's something that I was addicted to, right? I was hooked.
Same.
I wanted to beat all the damn teams.
Exactly.
It was very important. And not only to beat all the teams, Andrew, but I had this goal of having a perfect record because that game had, you know, you put in your initials, it showed your record, etc. I wanted to beat all of them without a loss.
Absolutely.
And that is not easy to do.
No, the CPU will screw you over at some point in that game. It will.
Exactly. But that was what, so I did that on NBA Jam Tournament Edition, I believe for Super NES. And then I also did that on NBA Jam for Sega CD, which is maybe my favorite version of NBA Jam. I love that Sega CD soundtrack. There was this lore for me for some reason for Sega CD. I don't know what it was, but it was a big deal at the time, and I loved NBA Jam on that console. So what's another one for you?
Well, first of all, I once again have to echo that I also played through the tournament in Tournament Edition, and yeah, what a joy it was to beat all the teams and the credits roll, and then you just get the expanded rosters, Derek. And this is actually something that's mentioned on the back of the box, certainly the PC version, which was the one that I bought and the one that I played most of, PC version of Tournament Edition. And somehow I overlooked that, which is weird because normally you read the back of the box and read the manual, right? You read everything you can about the game, but even before you've played it. But I overlooked that, so I was actually surprised by the expanded roster and the unlockable secret plays back in the day. This is the joy of gaming back in the day, is that you didn't necessarily get spoiled about the secrets unless somebody told you on the playground, the bus, or whatever, read it in a magazine. But yeah, I loved playing through that mode, and that is one of my all-time favorite games, obviously. You know, I mentioned multi-season play, and when Live 2000 PC brought in franchise mode, and we finally had the draft, and free agency, and generated rookies, and trades where you had the CPU could decline the trades, and you had to negotiate deals, that was everything I wanted out of season play. And I have played multiple seasons in some games. Like you say, depending on whether you get burned out or if it does take you all year and the new game comes out and you've not finished the season, playing that second year is not always easy. You kind of have to stick with the game for more than a year usually. I mean, that's how I'm into my sixth year in 2K14, my career, and I'll get to that later. But franchise mode, my cousin and I playing that and, you know, calling each other on the phone. This is the late 90s, early 2000s, of course. And planning these franchise games for when he came down in the holidays, when Clinton came down in the holidays, and I'd make the trades and set up the the save file and then we'd hit the ground running when he arrived. And just being able to live out those GM fantasies. And you still have that great season mode experience. Everything else about the original season mode, the stat tracking, the ups and downs of the NBA season, the All-Star break, and then the playoffs, etc. But having the ability to play GM, to be a virtual GM and make the trades that you wish your favorite team made, oh, that was so special.
So just to let everybody know, Andrew and I weren't chasing girls as young lads. We were chasing cheat codes. Let's put it that way.
I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Exactly. I mean, our love for basketball video games supersedes everything, right? I mean, you know how...
Don't let the missus hear that.
Yeah, exactly. No, she's not here right now. And she doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, yeah.
But...
tragic.
I know, it's too bad. Maybe I can get her on that. However, she was in the top 10 plays of the week this week. Hangtime HMA is my girlfriend, and she was swatting the crap out of the PC on NBA Street V3 with Princess Toadstool. And she's played basketball video games with me before, and she's never played them as well as she did during that session. She has a natural ability on NBA Street V3 for the GameCube. And I mean, she was pump faking from the 3-point line and knocking down deep threes. She was throwing alley oops like she showed in the top 10, you know, to Luigi and whatnot. I was really impressed with her ability to play that game. So I just wanted to point that out.
Unforgiving D, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know how I feel about fantasy draft seasons, about, you know, realistic seasons and whatnot, realistic dynasties. When video games ended up having the ability to emulate somewhat, you know, real trade logic in their video games and real, signing logic, whether you're signing a free agent or whatnot, that was such a big deal.
Oh,
right?
For sure, yeah.
Like, you're like, oh my God, video games have finally been able to capture, a more simulation.
The league felt
approach.
Alive. Absolutely. It wasn't just, oh, you're making all the deals. Like, I played through the 98 season in Live 96 PC with my roster update that I made back in the day. And I was actually controlling the other teams. Well, not controlling them. You can make moves for them. So I was adjusting lineups so that when Karl Malone missed a game with his suspension with that elbow on David Robinson, moving him out of the lineup for a game so that he missed a game, and keeping Scottie Pippen out of the lineup for 33 games or whatever at the start of my season, controlling the Bulls, that was great. But when you actually had the CPU doing that and coming up with situations and injuries happening elsewhere, and as you say, trades and signings, it just made that league feel alive, this virtual NBA feel alive. Really cool.
Injuries was the other one too, and then when you started being able to see the injury happen on court, it was just can it get more realistic than this, we thought?
Yeah.
But I'm going to get into the dynasty stuff in a moment because I want to go over NBA Live 2000, but a few others from the 90s that I want to bring up. NBA Live 96, co-op seasons with my brother, we were addicted to that, but the ability to create players was such a huge deal in that game, and we had the Sega Genesis version, and that was just awesome. Also want to bring up NBA Fast Break 98 exhibition games. Exhibition is a mode, my friends, and I've never played more exhibition games in my life than I did on NBA Fast Break 98 with my brother, with my father, etc. We didn't even touch season mode until like maybe a month or two after we had the game, because we were just constantly jumping into exhibition games, throwing different teams on the floor, watching them come out of the tunnel, which we thought was just so damn cool, etc. And yeah, exhibition games on NBA Fast Break 98 were a blast. NBA In the Zone 2, the obsession with created players in NBA In the Zone 2, the hidden legends, as you know, Andrew, Wilt Chamberlain being in there,
definitely.
Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, etc. I also finished a full season on NBA In the Zone 2, once again using the Pistons. So that was a blast. But yeah, NBA Live 2000. It was the first time that we got into fantasy draft seasons where it was all three of us. So me, Nick, and Mark. So me and my two brothers. And I would always draft Jason Williams. I would have like these certain players that were mine. Like I would take ownership. If they showed up in the draft, I'd be like, Mark, you can't get him.
Yeah.
Nick, you can't get. That's my player. And Mark had those players too. It was Murison and Bradley, and he would try to stack his front court with giants and whatnot, and it was so hard to contend with and everything. But we would sit around on stools in front of this like 19-inch monitor, if that. And it was like all huddled around. Yeah. And we would have like, I want to say it was Gravis gamepads. We'd have three of them.
Yep.
And we would be playing the PC version. NBA Live 2000 seasons, you know, like I said, the fantasy drafts, that was such a big deal for us. And then before I throw it over to you, I just want to give a couple more. Unlocking players in NBA Ballers was absolutely addicting. The graphics in that game were so impressive. The gameplay was so fun and so unique. There was no game like it out there. And, you know, so many of the great players, so many legends were hidden behind, you know, challenges and whatnot. You know, you had to, you know, beat a bunch of players in order to unlock them. And that was absolutely addicting for me. I remember coming home from work like every single day for a while, for maybe a couple months, throwing that game on and trying to beat all the players and unlock the legends and whatnot. And then NBA Street Volume 2, obviously beating all the teams, unlocking all the venues, super addicting. In fact, my brother and I revisited that recently and beat all the teams again. But, you know, unlockables are a big thing in games like Street, Ballers, NBA Jam and everything. And they're very addicting.
I need to do another playthrough of the campaign mode and all the unlockables in the NBA Street games on PS2, which I might do on the emulator now that the PS2 emulator has more compatibility with those games, and I could actually do the video retrospective that I've been wanting to do on that series for years, or each game in that series, I should say, similar to what I did with Jam 2010 and On Fire Edition last year. Oh, absolutely. But you say, Derek, it's fun to unlock that content, but wouldn't it be even more fun if you had to pay to unlock it?
No, I wish I had to. I wish I had to pull out my wallet and use a credit card or, you know.
So much more fun.
Yeah, I mean, it would be an absolute thrill for me to waste my hard-earned money on content that I should just be able to unlock organically.
And then you lose it in a couple of years because the servers go down? I mean, so much better.
Yeah.
So much better.
Maybe when they bring Street back, if they do, or NBA Jam and whatnot, maybe they can lock more stuff behind paywalls for us. That would be excellent.
That is the one downside of them possibly bringing back series like Jam and Street, what they would do with the monetization, because it is EA, you know, they're no better than 2K about these matters, but topic for another time. You know, NBA in the Zone 2, that is a game that I have enjoyed in recent years after picking it up. I'm going to guess that in that season with Grant Hill and the Pistons, that Grant Hill didn't moonwalk down the court.
No, he did not, but I'm pretty sure I got like 20 or 30 steals in one game with him, because the passes in NBA in the Zone 2 are so slow that oftentimes you can just pick it up easily off the ground or out of midair and just take off the other way. I'm pretty sure I broke some steal records in that game.
Oh, for sure. And you mentioned exhibition play, and it absolutely does count as a mode. Exhibition, quick game, single game, tip-off. It's gone by many names over the years in various games, and even within the same series, they've changed up the label from time to time. Play now, obviously, as well. And I've actually played probably more exhibition games in the last year or so than I have, certainly in a long time, maybe in all of my years of playing basketball games, because I was hooked on Franchise and then later Dynasty, that Franchise mode in NBA Live, by once again going by a couple of different names there, and Season mode before that. But, I mean, I would go into Exhibition mode to get screenshots for articles, obviously, or footage for videos, as the case may be, but I've just really been enjoying playing these once-off games. And especially, Derek, with minimalist modding. You know how I love putting together these historical matchups or using fantasy teams to have these makeshift classic teams in NBA Live 10, as you and I have connected to do several times in the last few years. But I've really enjoyed playing these games that don't have to count. They don't accumulate stats, but certainly we record them for posterity in many cases. But just setting up these fun scenarios and just enjoying virtual basketball. I've really gotten into that the last few years.
And, you know, the majority of time that we connect on Parsec on the various basketball video games, we're playing exhibition. So whether it be on NBA Live 10, you know, NBA Live 09, ESPN NBA Basketball, NBA 2K13, et cetera. So, like, exhibition games have become a staple of our basketball video game fun. And you and I connect so much on Parsec, and it never gets old. And the reason is because I think just a shared experience is just so fun anyway that I don't think you need to have that stat tracking and those lofty goals and to play through a season and whatnot to have a fun night of hoops.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring up a few more. NBA Live 2003 one-on-one. You and I, before we recorded this episode, we revisited that. We actually played one-on-one. You were using Michael Jordan. I was using Clyde Drexler, the two best shooting guards of their time. Also NBA 2K13 Blacktop. And in that session, we played on the same team again. It was 2-on-2. I was using J.R. Smith. You were on JaVale McGee, and we were against Paul George and Jermaine O'Neal. NBA 2K13 Blacktop is the most time I've ever spent on Blacktop, and it's because the game was made with street ball on the developer's mind. I truly believe that because of the way the dribbling mechanics work in that game. It was the first game they ever had right stick dribbling, and the moves that you can pull off with guys like J.R. Smith, with guys like Dwayne Wade, etc., you can just pull off some awesome Rafer Austin style moves, right? Jason Williams style moves, Allen Iverson moves, T-Mac moves, etc. So I used to go on the Blacktop quite a bit on that game because the dribbling made me think of street hoops. I think there's a lot of people that prefer NBA 2K13 over NBA 2K14 because of the way right stick dribbling worked in 2K13. You could pull off more moves, right, than you could in 2K14. So, yeah, we had fun in that session. And how fun is it to use JaVale McGee in a game and atmosphere like that? I figured J.R. Smith and JaVale McGee on the Blacktop made perfect sense.
That was a good combo. Yeah, very well chosen on your part there. A lot of fun in that session. I mean, it's always fun to connect. But changing up with Blacktop, because I haven't played as much Blacktop over the years. Jiao Ming, John, former NLC team member, of course, now working for 2K, was a big advocate of Blacktop. So if you're listening, John, I know you're going to be very amused to hear me talking about how much I enjoyed a Blacktop game. And I actually got into Street, the early version of Blacktop, in 2K6 when I was really on my 2K6 kick last year. And I still like to revisit that mode as well, especially because it has Rucker Park. And anytime you have Rucker Park in a game, you know, Derek, you've got to play at the legendary Rucker Park in that mode. But it is important to have that Blacktop mode still in the game. Obviously, you have Park for the connected experience, the playground. But, you know, not having to upgrade a player, just being able to take a couple of NBA players onto the Blacktop and play some street ball action is fantastic. The one drawback with 2K13 and 2K14 is having to unlock those players, the top-rated players on all of the teams. And it was even worse on PC because PC version of 2K13 and 2K14 didn't have VC, so you didn't actually even have the ability to unlock players. And of course, in the PS4 version of 2K14, you can't unlock those players anymore because you can earn offline VC, but you can't unlock them now that the servers are shut down. But you can, through roster editing, unlock those players for use in Blacktop. But yeah, a bit of a design error there.
I also want to point out that we did win that game in part because we were playing against the corpse of Jermaine O'Neal. That is not your best Jermaine O'Neal. But Paul George kept them around for a bit in that game. But Jermaine O'Neal, you dominated him with JaVale McGee. You were 7-for-9 from the floor and had a few loud dunks on him. And J.R. Smith was just super fun to use in that game. Step back threes, you know, slashing, fadeaways, et cetera. He can basically do it all in that 2K. But NBA Live 2003, one-on-one, Andrew. So it's really the only game where I spent a decent amount of time using that one-on-one mode. And, I mean, our game was kind of funny. I mean, we weren't taking it seriously. We were just kind of, like, trying to pull off fun moves and everything. And but the dunks are loud, but those bumper car mechanics are insane. Like, how many times did we bounce off of each other and fly backwards and, you know, hit our butt on the asphalt and whatnot? We were just falling constantly because the two-man animations weren't really there.
No, tin cans. NBA Live tin cans bumping into each other. Yeah.
Just tin cans bumping into each other. But still, that right stick usage, you know, being able to hold the ball behind you with one hand, spin moves, going behind the back, you know, dribbling through your legs and crossing over and stuff. It's still strong in that game. And I also think the post game is pretty good as well. So we were able to pull off some cool stuff in that game.
We were. And the dunks, as you say, they're satisfying. They're loud. I have had mixed feelings about Live 2003 over the years because it wasn't as sim as I would have liked, but I have come to really enjoy that game. It's always fun to dust it off. And what I like about the one-on-one mode in that game, are the selectable courts. You've got the practice gym, you've got the urban setting, and you've got the beach court. And I actually did a Wayback Wednesday on those courts some years back, and just sort of went into depth talking about all those locales. And, you know, it's PS2 era graphics, obviously. It's not as detailed as the environments you'll see in later games. The textures aren't as high quality, the models, etc. But still, those are just some really cool locations.
And I chose the beach court for our game.
I was glad. Yeah, I was going to suggest
it. I was also really impressed with the Clyde Drexler cyberface.
Oh, good face in 2003, yeah.
A lot like him. His hair, he has a little bit too much hair there. But
well, it's 80s Drexler, so it's kind of got that receding.
Right, yeah, that's true. So I'm going to bring up a few more before we get into the 2010s. NBA Jam 2004, you know, getting through the challenges and playing on the different filters that were in that game, which I thought was a really cool touch. There's like a black and white filter when you play like the old Celtics team and whatnot. So I was addicted to that for probably a month or so. NBA Live 2004, Fantasy Draft and Co-op Seasons. NBA Jam on Fire Edition, Road Trip. Andrew is still addicted to that. I love it every single time I play it. I was addicted to it at one point as well. And Andrew and I are almost 70% through our own road trip, our co-op road trip. So one of the best basketball video game modes in the history of hoop titles.
Overlooked. Andrew, absolutely.
NBA Jam on
yeah.
Fire Edition Road Trip.
Yeah, I've finished it twice on PS3 and 360 respectively. And yeah, we've still got that co-op one going. I'm keen to get that to 100% and to beat the Beastie Boys in New York, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, if you will. So, yeah, just one of the absolute best modes, just built on what Classic Campaign and the Remix Tour were doing in 2010, as I said in my retrospective last year, just taking the best of each and creating this new campaign mode for on Fire Edition that, yeah, it's one of the best in basketball gaming, period, and I would say the best tournament or campaign mode in any arcade game that I've played.
Yeah, it definitely has a case. And I also want to point out, it was very fair to the gamer, Andrew. It doesn't take a lot of grinding to unlock players, to unlock mascots, to unlock the bonus teams. The different challenges keep things fresh. The bronze, silver, gold, and platinum challenges, you know, then they have like the mini men challenge, and then dunks are worth 3 or 4 or whatever. So like they knocked it out of the park with Road Trip. And then, you know, just a few more before we get to the community's responses. NBA 2K11 Jordan Challenge, they absolutely nailed it. Jordan playing like his real life self, having all of his real animations in the game, playing some of those historical matchups, they just killed it. NBA 2K12 NBA Greatest, don't need to go too much into that one. My brother and I were absolutely obsessed with that. And what was cool about 2K12 is they also had the filters as well. So, you know, when you're playing Bill Russell's Celtics and whatnot, they have the black and white filter, and you really felt like you were playing in that era. We already discussed NBA 2K13 blacktop mode, NBA 2K14 PC season play and modding rosters. Sure, rosters in themselves is not like a mode, but it's the game. I can't even tell you, Andrew, how obsessed I was with modding rosters in NBA 2K14 PC and putting my own type of UBR/URB together with all the teams that the classic teams that I wanted in a roster. It was an obsession for like a year. So I have to mention it.
Oh, for sure. It's an activity, you know, if nothing else.
Exactly. NBA 2K15, my team, it's the most time I've ever spent on my team. And I spent a solid 2 or 3 months playing my team almost every night on NBA 2K15. That's where video game legend Tony Roten was born, in that mode, because he carried me until I got better players, and he just kicked butt and could do it all early on in my team ventures. And then NBA 2K16, my league with Court Creator. How big of a deal was that? Being able to create a court in my league, being able to create jerseys and whatnot, and just kind of put your own flavor on a season. And then the same thing with NBA 2K17. And then the last two that I'll mention before I throw it over to you are actually NBA Playgrounds and NBA 2K Playgrounds too. So NBA Playgrounds, my brother and I beat the street tourney, and we were obsessed with it. We were playing it every single night until we beat it. I think it took us a few weeks maybe to do so, but you know, going through that street tourney, unlocking players, playing at the different venues. It was really cool. And while we weren't obsessed with the gameplay, we thought the street tourney was really well designed, and we enjoyed that. With 2K Playgrounds 2, you know, finishing a season and winning the championship, my brother and I spent a couple weeks trying to do that. And, you know, we were unlocking players, unlocking Michael Jordan, getting the Celtics that we wanted, getting Drexler, et cetera. So, like, that's pretty much a rundown of, you know, stuff that has gotten me hooked in basketball video game history.
Yeah, I mean, there have just been so many great modes, and gameplay is paramount. But if you don't have those deep modes that are engaging, that keep you hooked, it is hard to... I mean, we mentioned exhibition games, obviously. You can keep playing exhibition games over and over, but you do need something a little bit more to sink your teeth into to really get hooked on a game, usually. And I've enjoyed those modes in Playgrounds as well. I still think that it is, in many ways, a poor man's NBA Jam, kind of an inferior mashup of Jam and Street in many ways. It has promise, but it does have some issues. But I have warmed up to it a little bit. I did play through a season in 2K Playgrounds 2 a little while ago with the Bulls, and I'll probably play a bit more of that game, unlock the players probably by purchasing them directly with the in-game currency that you earn, rather than trying to pull them in the packs, because the odds, much like my team and an Ultimate Team, are not great. Speaking of which, Ultimate Team I've spent a little bit more time with probably over the years than my team. That was the mode that really got me hooked in the lives that I played on last generation, because the Franchise and Dynasty mode wasn't quite as deep as I wanted it to be and as deep as it needed to be. So Live 15 and Live 18, playing with my 90s All-Stars basically in those games, very satisfying. I've uploaded highlight reels to our YouTube channel in the past, and probably will do so again for Live 18 at least, because I can still play that online at this time. 2K13 was the year I really got into my career. That was a fresh experience after so many years of being a Dynasty/Franchise gamer, and just got hooked on that, playing through that season, leveling up in 2K13 PC and becoming a star and becoming Rookie of the Year, and then by the end of the year, having this breakout in the NBA Finals and being a Finals MVP as a rookie was really satisfying journey. And you could do that at the time, because even with the low starting ratings, the mechanics allowed you to be a competitive player even before you got to 80 overall. Just a really fun journey in that game. 2K14 is a game, obviously, I've come back to many years later, still playing through that into my sixth season and counting of that mode. I'd love to play that up to the modern day. Do need to get back into that and play a few more games, a few more marathon sessions of that to get through the years. Very proud that I've not simulated at all in that my career, Derek, because I did have visions of achieving all of the milestones to get to the Hall of Fame when I do retire that player, and then just simulating into the future, but I can't bring myself to simulate in that 2K14 my career. I want to play it all.
I think you need to finish it.
Yeah.
I think you'd be kicking yourself if you even simulated one game. Yeah. You're so deep into it now. You've accumulated all of the stats. All of it is organic. All of it is you. And I think that even if you, you know, decide to retire early in order to retire the game because you want to move on to something else, maybe you play an 11-season career, right? Maybe you play a 13-season career like Jordan's Bulls years, and you know you don't make a comeback later on for a different team. I think that it would be a smart decision to play it all the way through. The way I look at this is, let's say you play one game a week, right? Which, what torture, Andrew. You have to play NBA 2K14, my career, a game you like, a career you like, one game a week.
Tragic.
Yeah, I know. Even if you did it one game a week, at least you're still progressing.
Absolutely,
right. And before you know it, even if it was like a couple real life years down the road, you're wrapping up your career. Right. So like, I think it would be a shame if you did any simulation.
Yeah, I'm holding off on it because it was the idea and I'll simulate into the future and get all the accumulated stats. But yeah, I want to do it organically, legitimately myself. Absolutely. And you know, 2K17, I was into my career as well. That was the first time playing into the second year. Actually, no, 2K, I tell a lie. 2K13 was the first year playing into the second year. Then 2K17 was probably the second, actually. And, of course, I was also playing 2K Pro-Am at the time, connecting with the guys. And, look, online play, it used to be a lot better before the metagaming really got out of hand, the badges, the boosts, etc. But 2K17... the peak of 2K Pro-Am, in my view. Great gameplay of 2K17, being able to have that 3-user minimum. A lot of the teams that we went up against would only have 3 or 4 players on a night as well. I think you really need that option for the international servers. In the States, in Canada, in North America, you might be able to get 5 people on a squad and go against other full squads of 5 more often. But yeah, they really just screwed us over internationally by taking away that 3-user minimum. But bringing in the stats tracking that year, so we're able to properly track our stats through over 500 games of 2K Pro-Am with NLSC Thrillho in 2K17, and playing that alongside my career, just such a joy. Getting on there every Friday night with the guys, and sometimes a couple of other nights a week as well, but certainly getting on there every Friday night, that was our hangout night, and getting on there and talking hoops and making jokes on the voice chat on PlayStation Network there while also playing the game, and you know, accumulating wins, accumulating stats was just so satisfying. 2K19, again, playing my career, playing into the third season that time and getting to the Hall of Fame for the first time, that was very satisfying. 2K20, I actually did simulate to the end of the regular season once. My first My Player in 2K20. I was definitely getting burned out on the mode at that time, certainly with the way it was becoming very grindy and pushy towards those microtransactions, because I've gone back to 2K14, obviously, enjoying the gameplay and enjoying a mode that I thought I was burned out on, but it turns out I was just burned out on the direction that it was being taken in, not surprisingly. I've gone back and played through 2K16, Living to Dream on PC. I also played that back in the day because that was part of the first foray into 2K Pro-Am, but 2K17 was definitely a big year for that. And yeah, I have played some My Team in 2K20, 2K21, I believe it was. And look, it was fine, but I did find myself getting hooked on the agendas too much, to the point where I realized I was once again falling into that trap of, oh, I've got to grind for rewards, Derek, and that's just not fun. I can't get invested in that anymore, knowing that I'm going to lose that progress when the server's shut down, or I'm going to have to start over again, one of the reasons I just can't get into My Team anymore. And I will give 2K Playgrounds 2 some credit here, because with their daily challenges, which are actually still active, you can choose to substitute a challenge if you want. So if you don't like the look of it, you can randomly replace one every day. And I really think that should be there with the My Team agendas, because sometimes it'll say, oh, play online, or play an online game, or play this mode that you don't play. And I understand why they do it, because it's giving you incentive to play different modes within My Team. But also, some of those modes you might not want to play. So that is a problem. But like I say, I find with those agendas and everything, I just end up grinding for the rewards and not having a good time, because I'm focusing, you know, eyes on the prize, if you will, rather than enjoying the experience on the court in the short term. And of course, not enjoying the gameplay of 2K21, 2K22, 2K23, 2K24 as much anyway. But yeah, My Team I have dabbled with. I like the idea, but yeah, look how greedy it's become. I can't do it anymore.
You know what I always thought was just kind of blah, this is something I was never a fan of, daily logon gifts and daily logon bonuses,
yeah,
and whatnot, because the reality is the reason why they want you to log on every day is so you spend more money on the game.
Engagement, yeah, right? Gets you hooked, yeah.
And it's not just, it's engagement, right? And it gets people on the game, and a lot of times it gets people to spend more money on the game. And this isn't just happening in NBA 2K. I mean, they have this in a game that my brother plays online. It's called Elder Scrolls Online, and there's daily log-on bonuses. And this is another game that is, there's a lot of stuff hidden behind paywalls, right?
And it seems altruistic at first. It seems like, oh, we're giving you free stuff every day, but
It's like, oh, you're, yeah, right, but yeah, it seems like it's innocent, right?
Yeah, not so much. Yeah,
but it's not really. At the end of the day, it's, well, if you don't log on to our game this day, you lose out on this, right?
Then you're back to FOMO. Absolutely, yeah,
right, exactly. So I always thought the daily log on gifts and bonuses and rewards and stuff was just kind of odd.
It is. It's really, I mean, I made good use of them in my career over the years, and the daily bonus where you would get a lump sum of VC for performing a certain task, which was then bugged in 2K21, and you know how they fixed that, Derek, was to disable it and say no daily bonus today, because people were completing the bonus and not getting the VC. So their fix was basically to patch out the daily bonus. Very kind of them to do that, you know, I say very sarcastically. So that was how I was able to upgrade at a reasonable pace in those older games. You had that daily bonus. You actually had some fairness there. There's the daily logon bonus and the wheel spin in my career, but then there's also the daily task where you could get a lump sum of VC every day as well for performing whatever statistical achievement you needed to, randomly chosen. So, yeah, it's they've certainly made it less fair there, which is another reason why it's just become so grindy and why I just can't have anything to do with it anymore. Not enjoying the gameplay is paramount, you know, at the end of the day, but certainly the greed just turns me off those modes. Absolutely. I want to mention, Derek, a mode that I haven't played as much of, and I don't know why, because it's very useful and I've always advocated for it being in the game, but the standalone playoffs mode, just starting a playoffs at any time, a playoff tournament, such a useful mode, probably one that I should have taken advantage of more often, especially because the season takes so long to finish, but for some reason, I've always overlooked it, and that's a shame.
I think the reason we overlooked that and we never got into it is because we love season stats.
Mm.
We love season stat tracking. We love the, you know,
dynamic
when,
results.
When there's basketball, yeah. Right. When you talk basketball in real life and you talk about people's golden seasons, right? Like players' best seasons of their career and all of that stuff. How many times do you click on the playoffs tab? Zero, right? You're looking at, you know, the conversation is centered around what did they do in the regular season? And then, oh, look, there's a regular season MVP. There's a, you know, defensive player of the year, the all NBA teams. What is that all centered around? The regular season, right? So like for us, I think the biggest reason why we never got into playoff modes in video games is because we wanted everything that comes with playing through a season.
That's
so
true.
Instead of
yeah.
going into playoffs, we would jump into a season, try to accumulate stats, look at the MVP race, defensive player of the year, sixth man of the year, most improved player, all of that stuff. So I think that's the main reason for us.
No, that's true. That's true. And looking back, I mean, my cousins and I probably should have replayed the 95 playoffs in Live 95 PC instead of trying to play through a full season, especially since we could only play for a couple of weeks at a time every 10 weeks in the school holidays. But you're absolutely right, yeah, playing through that season, having the stats accumulate, having the standings take shape, and therefore set the seedings, so you're not just doing it yourself or using the predetermined seedings from the previous season, as the case may be, or setting it up for whatever season. You know, obviously, you can customize the seedings in playoffs mode in those NBA Lives, but having results determine those seedings and determine the course of that season, yeah, no, that's a great point. But with that being said, it's still a shame that it's kind of underutilized.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But of course, Derek, you threw that question out there to the community, as you always do, so let's see what they had to say and open up the mailbag.
To the mailman, the pump fake. What an unbelievable dunk!
So looking at these responses, Derek, a lot of people do favor My League, My NBA, Dynasty Franchise, the franchise modes, very popular since they came in. I think one of the biggest additions, the biggest, most important improvements to basketball gaming. And obviously, it opened up the addition of single-player careers as well.
I mean, that was the bread and butter for both the NBA 2K series and NBA Live series for a long time, right? NBA Live made a point in the early 2000s, specifically starting with NBA Live 2000, to make their franchise mode the deepest in sports gaming, right? They created more depth around the mode. They gave the user endless options, and they tried to make it as sim as possible. So I'm not surprised that there's multiple answers related to franchise modes.
And to that point, Chuck says My League / My NBA. Bucky T says, I'm going to say My NBA for sure. However, I spent a lot of time with Greatest Games in 2K12 and Jordan Challenge in 2K11. In 2K12, the Greatest Game Challenge, in my opinion, is the best mode in basketball video game history. And just having that era-specific presentation, the video filters, the audio filters of those early 60s and 70s games, Derek, it was just on another level.
And unlockables.
Exactly,
right?
Getting
like,
the teams.
There
yeah.
was also, yeah, there were goals tied into you completing that mode as well. And I felt like that made it extra special. But yeah, the filters, the presentation, the awesome gameplay. We can't forget gameplay. And NBA 2K12 had strong gameplay. Yeah, they knocked it out of the park with that mode.
Phil Lime 2002 says My League and My NBA, and also My Career until 2K17. Steven, the Live King, says 2K11 My Career before Mike Wong patched it, won the championship with the Wizards. And I don't actually remember what the patch was and how that affected my career, or my player as it still was in 2K11, but yeah, sometimes when a patch comes through that wrecks the gameplay or wrecks the mode, yeah, that's a bummer.
I don't remember a patch wrecking NBA 2K11's gameplay. I've just always thought the gameplay felt the same overall on that one. I think that a good example of a patch really negatively affecting gameplay on a specific basketball video game was NBA Live 19. I think they had a patch later in the game cycle that really hurt shooting and made the action overall more can than ever. I also feel like the patch made the action on the floor more sluggish. That late patch on NBA Live 19, I think, made the game far inferior to the gameplay that was on the demo for that title.
Agreed. And that's another example of a patch that made changes based on complaints about the online scene or feedback about the online scene that then had a negative effect on the offline gameplay. And for me, the worst change was to shot contests, because it was based on that online gameplay, but the CPU can stick to their man much easier, so it would take away that green release, and shooting in Live 19 is very dependent on getting perfect releases, green releases, so the CPU was able to take away shots that should have been open and uncontested and green releases by just sliding in at the last second and sticking to their man. So yeah, that last patch ruined Live 19 for me.
100%. We just haven't really wanted to put it on since.
Still like 18 though. 18 still solid.
Yeah, I just think both games are hard for me to get into just because of the number of canned moments, just the overwhelming amount of canned animations, and the fact that I don't feel like I truly have control over the action like I do some of the older titles.
Two Twin Loco says, Legends Showcase in 2K12. Wasn't a big fan of that 2K, but I love that mode. And Royce says, Greatest Games and Legends Showcase, all the games mode they're in 2K12. Jordan Challenge in 2K11, the Blacktop from Y 2000 to 06, and 2K3 to 2K12. I still play Blacktop today, but those games, it seems like an important game mode to jump in and play a single game. And I know that Royce is a big fan of the Legends Showcase. He's mentioned that to me before, and I picked up the Game of the Year edition of 2K12 just because it has that on the disc, that Legends Showcase. And yeah, I need to spend some more time with that. That's a fun mode.
I'm still waiting for the footage, Andrew. I think you could get a top 10 highlight playing that mode. And Royce obviously has some great choices there. I think I need to spend more time on Blacktop in general. I've been having a lot more fun with it lately. I uploaded some footage of NBA 2K14 for the Xbox One, playing Blacktop on that, once again skying with JaVale McGee, but also using Gerald Green, who's incredibly fun in that game because he will dunk on anybody and whatnot. Yeah, and Jamal Crawford. I was also using him during that session, and how fun is he to use in a streetball atmosphere? But yeah, as I get older, for some reason, I'm getting more into the idea of playing Blacktop modes in video games.
Well, I guess it's something because we were spending so much time with other modes back in the day that it's fresh. It's a fresh experience at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that could be it.
2K Chris says Dynasty, so another franchise enthusiast there. Reese says College Hoops 2K8 Legacy Mode. And yeah, that's the franchise mode for the College Hoops 2K8. And there's also Dynasty franchise in March Madness and NCAA Basketball Series as well. Yeah, I haven't played as much of those games, obviously, but that is very tempting to play through a season. I mean, I played through a season in World League Basketball back in the day, which is basically the PAL version of an NCAA game. So I kind of did, but yeah, those are fun too. Those shorter seasons and a different atmosphere, college, different gameplay. Yeah, I certainly get why. And I know that Andrew, the ex of the NLSC Thrillho, loves College Hoops 2K8. And I think he had quite a few legacies going back in the day.
Yeah, and that was the most involved tournament that I held for the NLSC. We had a College Hoops 2K8 tournament with 16 people from around the world participating. Unfortunately, I did lose in the first round to a buzzer shot by John Jake Gaming and whatnot. But hosting that tournament was incredibly fun, and there were so many awesome highlights as a result, because College Hoops 2K8, just like NBA 2K8, is a strong title from a gameplay and visual perspective. But yeah, that's College Hoops 2K8 is also very expensive, depending on where you get it. And I think I had to spend around $100 for my copy of that game.
It is definitely one of the more expensive games to collect these days, the college games, not as many copies in circulation. So definitely shop around if you're looking to add that to the collection. Big Perk, SweetJones_OTF, says my league and my player, or my career. Benjamin Simmons says creating a legend. And yeah, that was a mode that people really enjoyed, Derek, basically being able to play my career with an established, real NBA player.
I hope that he's not a fan of Ben Simmons, but that his name is just Benjamin Simmons, because I don't think you want to be a fan of Ben Simmons right now.
Well, his avatar is his avatar on X there is actually Ben Simmons with glowing red eyes.
Oh, no. We got to find him a new favorite player, Andrew.
One that actually just came in as we were recording. Good timing for Trent. Says, I'm hooked on my NBA eras in 2K24 right now, running a Jordan era in the first season, but I'm 60 games in. I have a ton of highlights I need to submit. Looking forward to seeing those, obviously, Trent. But yeah, my NBA eras was a huge step forward for that mode. And as much as I haven't really enjoyed the last couple of games, I wish I could, Derek, because playing in those eras does look like a lot of fun.
If the gameplay was sharp, if I felt the gameplay was fun and balanced and was just, you know, created an enjoyable time, I would be spending a ton of time with my NBA eras, because the concept is amazing, right? It's UBR-esque, URB-esque. It's stuff that, you know, modders have been doing for years for those older NBA 2Ks.
We never
thought we'd see it in an official release. And even Thundershack and Stildo 33 continue it on some newer titles like NBA 2K19 with those classic seasons, and NBA 2K20. I think Thundershack's all the way down to the mid 80s now. I think he's like 1985 to present for his 2K20 rosters. So yeah, to see something like my NBA eras in official releases, which was normally only done by modders, is pretty special. But I think that those rosters overall are half-weighed. I think the people that are putting those together don't understand those eras or how those players played, which is easy to see going by the tendencies, ratings, the signature shots that are assigned. And I think that the gameplay overall is just not strong enough in 2K24 that makes me want to spend time with it.
Jumping over to our Facebook page for a few more responses now. Landa says 2K11 Jordan Challenge. Deeper Binaries also says Jordan Challenge in 2K11 and also the 2K23 version as well. 2K24 Mamba Moments and the NBA Live Challenges since 2001, which that was in the PS1 version, the NBA Live Challenges back in the day. And yeah, I think people really do enjoy those retro modes, those historical challenge modes. I'm glad that they actually were brought back. I wrote an article a few years back, Derek, where I opined that they would never come back because they wouldn't make money. I'm glad to be proven wrong about that. And even though I do think the original Jordan Challenge and NBA's Greatest were the best versions of that mode, I'm glad to see Mamba Moments, even though I could have had a few more games than seven, a few more challenges in that mode. But I do like what they've done with the presentation. And, you know, I'll even give a shout-out here to LeBron Path to Greatness in 2K14, PC, and PS3 and 360. It's not my favorite mode, but actually pretty interesting and funny that they predicted him moving back to Cleveland at some point in that mode. A fun prediction that 2K14 made.
I've never played that mode in NBA 2K14, and I might never play it. But at
it's
the same time, yeah, I heard it was pretty good.
Zach says the NBA Live 2005 dunk contest. Yeah, All-Star Weekend. I'd forgotten about that. That is a mode that I have spent time with. I made that MJ versus Neek recreation of the 88 dunk contest recap from Dazzling Dunks and Basketball Bloopers. Yeah, I've definitely spent time with All-Star Weekend. The best version of All-Star Weekend in live from 2005 to 2009.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, All-Star Weekend isn't exactly something that shines in the newer 2Ks. But hey, that's kind of reminiscent. Yeah, I was just about to say, that's kind of, you know, similar to what it is in real life. The All-Star Weekend is a shell of its former self. The dunk contest sucks. The All-Star Game sucks. The skills challenge sucks. The most entertaining aspect of the NBA All-Star Weekend in real life now is the three-point shootout. And because of some of the rule changes, more money balls, all of that stuff, I think that has been tainted in like a historical way, right? For comparison reasons. And I think that I'm not really a big fan of the changes that took place for the three-point contest either.
Same. The only reason they have beaten those old records is because they added those extra money balls. Feels a bit cheap, to be honest, but
context matters,
absolutely. And a couple more responses from our Discord now. Pharmacist12 says, I like the overall team practice aspect in the NBA Live Academy in Live 09. Very cool practice mode there and a way to develop your team in Dynasty as well. says, I think it was well done. The street in 2K is another one. You could have different weather, be it rain, fog, or normal. That is something else I enjoyed about my time with Street in 2K6, actually, Derek, on Xbox 360, was having a rainy court.
Hey, you know, for those of us who used to hoop outside a lot growing up and, you know, as young adults, and maybe some people still do, even as older adults and whatnot, you know, you played in puddles, right? You played in the rain, you played in the wind, sometimes you even played a little bit in the snow and whatnot. So that's very realistic, actually. And I always remember the 5-on-5 runs outside where it would be sprinkling. You know, there'd be a little rain coming down, and maybe there were a few puddles that formed on the court, but you dribbled around those, right? You would just try to avoid them and whatnot, and you didn't want to stop playing. So it is realistic.
Very infamously, the very first gold medal game for basketball when it became an Olympic sport in 1936, a medal sport in the Berlin Olympics back in 1936, was played in the rain between the US and Canada, but they were playing on a dirt court and it became very muddy, so it turned into more of a netball game because they couldn't dribble. Just a little bit of trivia there for everyone, Derek.
There you go. Andrew's trivia. We should add that as a segment too.
That's right.
D's rants and Andrew's trivia.
Andrew's, well, we had Andrew's advice 1 week, so we'll have to come up with a jingle for each of them. Absolutely. And finally, Ken, that is Kenny, of course, says from NBA Live 6 to 10, it was definitely Dynasty mode. I used to skip years, so my Dynasty saves would last over 2 years. From 2K10 onwards, my player slash my career was my focus, but more recently, it's definitely my team, at least the offline modes. I only play online if I was trophy hunting. And yeah, I only played online in my team if it was for an agenda or a trophy or whatever. I'm absolutely with him there. And he had that great dynasty in NBA Live 10, the next level, went 17 years with the Denver Nuggets, multiple championships, Borislav Perko, the great virtual hardwood legend, of course. And like he says, if you do stick with a game for at least a couple of years, that's how you can get through multiple seasons in franchise dynasty season modes.
Well, about my team, I know that he loves the Nuggets because I keep getting NBA 2K23 Nuggets highlights from him from his My Team escapades, and he's using Nuggets branding and he's throwing it down with David Thompson and whatnot and doing stuff, I want to say, with Melo and everything. So I know that he was really big into My Team on NBA 2K23, probably a lot more than he has been on NBA 2K24.
So that's the thing, he's sticking with 2K23. He's avoiding, as you say, he skips years. So he's done the sensible thing.
Yeah, and the 2K23 gameplay, you know, after I revisited it, it's actually still better than 2K24 as well. So I think he's sticking with the better game. And My Team, even though it was greedy and predatory and whatnot, it was still, you know, better than what it was in 2K24.
And that's the thing. These modes do make you want to move on, or they try and force you to upgrade to the latest game. And yeah, it's sometimes you do want to stick with a favorite and play it for a couple of years. And Kenny has done that. And yeah, I've done that too in the past. But when I got into the habit of playing My Career every year and we're playing the 2K Pro-Am and grinding up players, we were moving on. But yeah, sticking with the game. Look, that's what I'm doing with 2K14 these days and other favorites. So I think that is a very sensible way to go. But thank you to everybody who sent in responses. Just so many great memories with these modes, Derek. And once again, gameplay is paramount, but if you don't have those deep, engaging modes to keep you hooked, it's hard to stick with the game.
Yeah, the gameplay is the most important thing. And if you love the gameplay and the game has deep modes and it just has a lot of depth in general, then you got it made and you can spend thousands of hours on that title. I also want to thank the community once again for giving so many responses and just engaging with every mailbag and whatnot. We appreciate you, and it's fun to talk about your responses on the show.
No doubt. That, however, has brought us to the end of this week's show. Thank you for joining us once again. Please tune in each and every week on the NLSC, nba-live.com, our YouTube channel, or your podcast app of choice. In the meantime, also connect with us on social media. That's where you can get in touch with us and, of course, stay up to date with all of our content. So, Derek, go ahead and plug the handles.
You can find me on X at D43G and at D4384. I'm also on the NLSC, D43, and on YouTube, D43.
I am Andrew in our forum, and Andrew NLSC on X. The NLSC is on X and Facebook at the NLSC. We're also NLSC Basketball on Instagram and Threads. On YouTube, we are at NBA Live Series Center. And of course, give a look to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. So, thank you once again for tuning in, and until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.